Let me out of the bunker. Let me out.
No, David.
Let me out.
David, I told you before, if you're going to use references on a resume, you can't use a Twitter address, much less at Timmy Miles.
It's Tim. It's the real Tim. Anyway.
Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our weekly Hoops HD report. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by, coming to you here pretty much style tonight, I guess, joined by...
Me out up here.
We got John Sleek on one side and Rocco Miller on the other, and I think I got those directions reversed. I also have John Dytel right below me, Joby Fortson, and David Griggs locked in the puppet bunker for the holidays, nonetheless.
Yeah, every holiday season I get locked in the puppet bunker. I don't know why that is.
We'll let you out in maybe 3 or 4 months. Those of you who missed
Joel
locks himself in the bracket bunker here, so we decided to lock David in the puppet bunker. And
he's not actually locked. He's not even actually in a bunker. He's in a studio. He can come and go as he pleases. This is not at all the same thing.
I don't know. It kind of works. Other than when you show up on these podcasts, we kind of get rid of you. I think I kind of liked it.
I don't know. You're the attorney. You earn your money for a change.
What we like to do on this show is we do go through all of the major conferences, some of the slightly less major conferences as well, the top 10 conferences basically, go through what's been going on the past week, discuss upcoming games, discuss everything else we want to discuss about each league. And we also, well, tonight at least, we're going to have an extra topic for each conference. We're going to be talking about who we each feel is the coach of the year so far in the conference. But I'd like to start off with a conference that, of 10 teams in the league, 8 of them received votes to be in the top 25 this week. 6 of them actually making the top 25. Once again, probably the best conference in the nation, just percentage-wise. Here's the Big 12. It should be coming up on the screen right now. Where you see the worst team is Texas at 7-3, if you look at the record so far.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and again, and I don't think Texas is the worst team at all, but this is just remarkable production. And didn't we think before the season was starting that the Big 12 was going to be down this year? And by down, we thought that they would get between 5 and 6 teams in, which is instead of 7, which is still more than half the conference. No other power conference routinely sends 60% or more of its teams to the NCAA tournament other than this one. It's just remarkable for a lot of reasons. And as a basketball purist, I love the double round robin. I think that it makes it that much better because the power rankings, you get the benefit of playing everybody twice. I think it elevates everybody up more. But the other thing is that when you have 10 teams in the conference and a collection of 10 teams have played roughly 10 games each, so that's 100 games, and they have a total of 6 losses or 16 losses. Mm-hmm. And these are not like – for the most part, these teams have not loaded up on cupcakes either. Some of them have. But they've gone out and played and won real games. Just a great start.
Yeah, and Joby, I got to ask you about this. Your nitty-gritty ratings as of today are actually right in line with the KPI. Also, Oklahoma, off of that win at Wichita State, up to top 10 in yours. They broke the top 25 polls this week. We've got to take this team pretty darn seriously now, don't we?
Yeah, this is why I absolutely hate the polls. I mean, if you're going to put them in, you gotta really leap them about where. Look, I mean, look at the strength of record, KPI, and me. I mean, it's like I think that is where they are. And yeah, Trey Young. Wow, we were talking about Marvin. First, we're talking about okay, who's the best freshman, and Marvin Bagley kind of popped out, and he deservedly so. took the college landscape by storm. But Trey Young. Wow, we knew he'd be good. We knew he might lead the Big 12 as a freshman in points scored. And you know what? He's giving Mr. Bagley a claim for who might be the best freshman.
Yeah, and Tytel, the other team from the Sooner State there, Oklahoma State, picked up the huge win over Florida State this week. Florida State team that we'll talk about when we get to the SEC is kind of fading, but just shows you just more and more these wins in non-conference play by the Big 12.
is. I mean, I really thought Florida State was going to not, like, win that by 20 points, but I thought they could handle business in Sunrise, Florida, and boy, was I wrong. The Cowboys with a couple of great losses, of all things, to Texas A&M neutral site and to Wichita State at home, albeit both by double figures. They haven't beaten a ton of people besides the Seminoles in the top 150. It's still early in mid-December, but two great losses on the resume. So as of today, I guess I could see them squeezing in, but miles to go, of course.
Right, and Rocco, I guess the other score that kind of raised some eyebrows was, and I really don't want to talk to David about this one, but Kansas barely getting by Nebraska. Of all the teams that are playing well in the Big 12, this might be one team that's playing the worst.
Well, that led to a sequence of events, and then the next thing I know, I'm in the bunker.
Yeah, Rocco.
Yeah, Kansas is trying to, you know, weather the storm. They've had a rough three-game stretch tonight. Fortunately, they got a nice little break to blow out Nebraska, Omaha. But yeah, I think Kansas, when they get up to full strength that second semester, potentially getting Billy Preston, you know, I think they'll get back to their winning ways. But yeah, they've got a lot of things to work out on the court. This conference was incredible this week. The only loss was the first game of the week, which was Texas losing at home to Michigan because Andrew Jones got injured, and I kind of gave them a hall pass for that loss based on having to acclimate their first game without him. But look at Saturday. They go 6-0 with three upsets: Oklahoma State, Iowa State, and of course the game at Wichita with Oklahoma winning. So there really is no bad losses going into conference play at this point. If you look at the KenPom rankings, the lowest team is 59th. So yeah, it's nuts.
And if you look at the same thing, that's 59th, and the KenPom is 29th, and the KPI 28th in Joby's rankings. It's Toledo. Yeah. Iowa State, we all wrote them off, and they very nice win over Northern Iowa this week.
Yeah, that was one that Iowa State really needed to, what is it, get back as far as getting some votes. You're not going to see it in the polls this week, but I think we also have to go back a little bit earlier. It's actually 7-0 on Saturday because West Virginia and Wheeling Jesuit, technically that was an exhibition game, so that didn't even count towards the Mountaineers' overall record.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. I almost pulled out the buzzer on him. I refrained. But let's
look at a team sheet.
Okay, you want to let's look at a team sheet? Okay, I'm going to pull up our team sheets here. We've used them some of the under the radar.
I don't care who. I just like the team sheets.
Okay. These are our team sheets.
Perfect.
Let's take a look at that Iowa State team here on the left. We can talk about Grambling on the right, but I prefer to talk about Iowa State on the left here.
I don't care who we talk about. I just like the team sheets.
But Job, if you look at this, Northern Iowa and Boise State, both neutral court wins, and the only bad loss is that Milwaukee game, which was the second game of the season.
And Milwaukee had a nice win this weekend. So it's not like – I mean, it's a little – as someone said on the offline Jekyll and Hyde team. So they happen to catch Mr. Hyde, I guess, or so to speak, for them. Iowa State's it's once again it's giving depth to this conference. We haven't even touched the Texas Tech of the world, really? Texas Tech, and it's another team we'll definitely discuss later that has been on fire and maybe the top of the group. Iowa State, this conference, we've said it already on this podcast, this conference is so deep. We saw it 2 years ago. What it will do is it'll build on itself. Now if Texas goes and beats Iowa State, it's a really good win. Oh, but you're actually only beating the sixth or seventh best team in the conference, but it's still a win against an NCAA caliber team. And that's just amazing.
Should we just bracket this conference and call it the Midwest?
Maybe we should. But Titel, here's the upcoming schedule for this upcoming week. Is there anything that really stands out with you? I guess you got a couple of road tests, but I don't know if there's any games that really stand out unless I'm missing something.
If we head almost all the way down Texas going to Alabama on Friday, there's not a ton of great games that I see besides that. I think Kansas is going to kill Stanford, unfortunately. But it's going to be a nice – if you like the high school All-Americans, you get Mo Bamba going against Colin Sexton, possible preview of two guys who are going to be lottery picks in a few months. So it should be good.
How about Northwestern and Oklahoma? We'll talk about that when we get to the Big Ten. I like this Oklahoma team a lot that you had talked about. And suddenly this is a game that's critically important for a Northwestern team that's really limping right now.
Are you talking about Northwestern State versus Oklahoma or Northwestern? Did we accidentally
miss Well, I'm going off of Chad's thing here. And, it says Northwestern.
They've got them both. They've got Northwestern State Tuesday, Northwestern on Friday.
On Friday. Yeah,
reversal of fortunes in that game of what we've seen. If you had said, well, one team would be a solid NCAA tournament team at this point, the other is on the outside looking in,
yeah,
we have a different set of teams' answers on that game beginning of the year.
Right, and that's why we play the season. A lot of people don't want to play the season. They just want to start the NCAA tournament right away. But this is why we play it.
Well, let's ask another question we have to ask. We're going to ask for all these conferences. And Rocco, let me start with you. Who do you feel is the coach of the year so far in this conference? This may or may not be one we all agree on.
Yeah, I think it's I give the leader right now is Lon Kruger, just because Oklahoma essentially has three road wins. It's interesting about their road wins. They're all pretty much road games, but they weren't actually on the campuses of any of these teams. They beat Oregon, but they played them in Portland. They beat USC, but they played them in Staples Center. They beat Wichita State, but they played them in the downtown arena. But, you know, I would hope that the committee is going to look at all those as true road wins. And very impressive. I mean, those are all games probably penciled as possible or for sure losses before the season. So, Lon Kruger has taken a team that we knew had talent to a team that's now competing to be a protected seed.
Joby, agree?
Lon Kruger's done a good job, but Trey Young is really the story there. I would go with Jamie Dixon, who doesn't have the elite players. Maybe that's my old term ACC bias, since he should still be at Pitt, or if Pitt wasn't so silly and not give him the resources. But he went back home to Texas where he played, and he has done remarkable. That 10-0 start is not a fluke. Yeah, there's some cupcakes in there, but it's really, you know, going in, beating Nevada, yeah, I mean, they've done the job here, and deservedly so. TCU, with not a lot of flash, is 10-0 for a reason, not by accident.
Yeah, and it's more of a cumulative. When you look at yeah, he's done a great job this year, but he's done a great job taking over a program that was a complete train wreck and turning them into a team that's not just heading towards the tournament, but in the rankings and heading toward the top half of it. It's hard to single out like a single coach that is the best when you talk about how well all of them have done. But I kind of have another guy that I like that none of you would probably mention, largely because he doesn't actually coach in the conference, but you got to admire the job Tim Miles has done in the Big 12 this year. I mean, what the hell? Can I finish my thought here?
No, you can. Not if you're going to talk about Tim Miles. Tytel, do you agree on Dixon? Do you want to agree on Lon Kruger? I'm kind of leaning on the Jamie Dixon bandwagon myself.
No way. It's Kruger, and it's not close. So Jamie Dixon had a team that won the NIT and has not played a true road game yet and will not until January. Lon Kruger comes off of a 20-loss season. And granted, he's a better recruiter than a coach, I think, because to get Trey Young, he's a transformational player in the form of Blake Griffin and other Sooner stars of the past like Wayman Tisdale. I understand he's going to stay a couple months and then leave probably, but he's changing this program single-handedly. But Kruger gets credit because he recruited them there. Lon Kruger, the coach of the year in the Big 12.
All right. So Lon Kruger, I guess the only other guy that didn't get mentioned here, and I'd have him in the top three. And Sleek, let me go to you on this. What about the job that Chris Beard has done at Texas Tech?
You were reading my mind, Chad, because we had already mentioned Dixon and Kruger. I mean, if you look at what Texas Tech did, they started off with a couple games in the, I think it was the Hall of Fame Classic in the Mohegan Sun, where they beat Boston College and blasted Northwestern because the Wildcats have not been the same. But also, don't overlook a nice home win they have against Nevada. Texas Tech's only stumbling block was against Seton Hall as part of a Under Armour reunion at Madison Square Garden.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's go take a look at another conference here. And the other conference that's getting probably the most love from the pollsters, I think there's not eight, I think there's six or seven teams here that are getting at least votes in one poll or another. And three that are in the top 25, Arkansas just missed the top 25. That's the SEC here. where Tytel, let me start with you. Anything that shocked you from the results this week in the SEC?
I don't know about shocked. I mean, Mississippi State was undefeated, and then they ran into a buzzsaw in Cincinnati and got destroyed. I don't know what kind of bench the Bulldogs have, but when you shoot 0 of 20 with your bench, you're not going to beat anybody. Bearcats all over them, 11 blocks, and they made all but two free throws. So it was all Bearcats all the time.
And Joby, I guess Tennessee, despite the loss, I think they earned national respect in that game.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee had bubbled up in the polls, so to speak, out of force of will. And it's like, yeah, they had some good wins here or there. But really, are they really a top 15 team? Are they really? And then all of a sudden, yeah, they're a top 15 team. And yeah, the way they play against Carolina. And if they, this is Rick Barnes. And I can't, you know, we had kind of left Rick Barnes for dead. You'll hear an answer later on that guy from me. Hint, hint. This team is an NCAA tournament team. They're playing great basketball. Can they keep it up in what is a very tough conference? Are they as good as Texas A&M or Kentucky? Probably not. But
as good as Kentucky.
Rick Barnes, because it's defense style, it's what he did Providence. We did it at Clemson. He is less talented than he did at Texas, but it's what he can do it, what he did at Texas. This is what he does. He plays disciplined basketball that gets solid wins.
And Rocco, every year for the past, since Bruce Pearl got the job at Auburn, I've picked his teams to make the NCAA tournament preseason. I've been grossly wrong. This year, especially with the FBI investigation, I gave up on them. Very nice for Middle Tennessee, and now 9-1 on the season, though.
Good one.
Yeah, you know, the Middle Tennessee game impressed me. They got out to a big lead in the beginning, and they held on for a six-point win. Middle Tennessee started to get their way in the second half, but they just buried too big of a hole. Auburn, I just think it's a it's tough because they haven't beaten anybody else in the top 100, and then they had the big loss against Temple. They lost by 14. So I still think the jury's out with Auburn. That cloud with the FBI investigation is going to be there all year. They're going to play a lot tougher games starting in January. So I would just say I'm going to reserve judgment on Auburn until they get through a little bit tougher part of their schedule.
Yeah, only lost beat to Temple. They do have technically a top 100 win at Dayton and against Hofstra, but we're not talking about NCAA tournament caliber wins, and those will probably not be top 100 wins by the time we reach the end of the day.
Sorry, I was talking Ken Palm, not RPI.
Okay. I'll tell you like what, this is one of the great things with these team sheets. I can switch to Ken Palm numbers on these. So now we can look at, here's Auburn versus the Ken Palm. Only the one top 100 win, and that's the Tennessee win. But let's go ahead and take a look at, I guess the other loss that surprised me, though, David, was Georgia losing on the road at UMass and gets not a good UMass team.
Yeah, and, you know, right after I was saying how quiet and successful Georgia had been, they go on the road and lose to UMass rather noisily. Again, that was one of the more surprising results. I didn't think I thought they'd go there and I thought they'd win huge. So what can you do? Florida losing another game. Wow.
Yeah, and Salika, we have a lot of games coming up this week, although, again, we're looking at the kind of the tail end of all the bye games until we get to Kentucky's game this weekend, I guess. Is that where we're at?
Well, there is going to be a couple rivalry games coming up tomorrow night with South Carolina and Clemson. You almost have to wonder, is South Carolina going to return the favor that Clemson imposed on him last year when the Tigers actually won in Columbia? You're also going to have a good old-fashioned clean hate, or whatever they call Georgia Tech in Georgia.
Good old-fashioned hate.
Good old-fashioned hate, thank you.
Two lousy teams, right.
Right.
And then on Saturday, we also have Mizzou's current rival, and that's going to be Illinois, which is a game they'll probably dominate.
David, I want to look at these up. Two games tomorrow night, too. Northern Kentucky at AM, Stephen F. Austin at Missouri. Two quality road opponents there. Two quality opponents for SEC schools.
Yeah, Stephen F. Austin, SFA, winning earlier in the week at LSU, albeit barely, but only one loss on the year, albeit against a rather weak schedule. But if you want, if SFA bloats out their record, and really, when you look at the remainder of their schedule after this game, they should win them all, and that's more that says as much about their schedule as it does about them. But this is really their last chance to win a game that they can circle and say, hey, look at that. Northern Kentucky, one of the better teams in the Horizon League, but I think way, way far away from the top 40 potential fringe bubble team that I thought they were. TAMU should not have too much trouble with them. And Mizzou really shouldn't struggle with SFA, but if you were to ask me which one was more ripe for an upset, it's definitely that one.
Well, Tytel, let me ask you the question we're asking here. Who has been the best coach this year already in the SEC?
I can't believe I'm saying it, especially after the injury in the first 2 minutes of the season, but Quanzo Martin of Missouri. This team had 8 wins last year. Granted, it was not with him because he was 3,000 miles away. He comes in. He's already won 9 games. He's missing Michael Porter Jr. His only 2 losses are to Utah, which was bad, and to West Virginia, which was close, at a neutral site. And it's not just cupcakes. He's beaten Iowa State, St. John's, and UCF. Go Quanzo.
I like that, but Joby, I think you're going to agree with me on who I think is it, because I picked this team to finish, I think, second to last in the conference. I just thought they're completely undersized, and here they are in the top 25, right? Your mic has got to get turned on there, Joby.
All right. Sorry, if you're talking about the guy I hinted at, yeah, Rick Barnes. I've already reeled off the Rick Barnes bandwagon today. I'll let others interject.
I disagree. Both those coaches have done well, but when you look at what Bruce Pearl has done at Auburn, he's taken his time, he's done it slow, he's done it the right way, and then here they are in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I was looking hard at Quanzo Martin, but I was afraid to say it because I thought you would buzz me. So, John, glad you didn't get buzzed for that answer. I am going to give it to Billy Kennedy just because when the season started and they didn't have Robert Williams the first couple games and they got in the hole in the first half against West Virginia and then ended up blowing them out, that was really impressive. Then they also picked up a bunch of other quality wins. The only loss is Arizona in a tight game. And if it wasn't for a call or two here or there down there in Phoenix, they'd probably win that game too, and they would be undefeated right now. And I think we all thought that A&M could be good this year, but they really had to the schedule now to prove themselves on the court, and they've done it. And so, just by the slimmest of margins, I'm going to give it to Billy Kennedy.
Sleeka, you want to break the tie or you want to go somewhere else?
Well, for some of the reasons Rocco mentioned, I will go with Billy Kennedy. Let's not forget, they also had a couple wins against Oklahoma State, which is suddenly starting to look more significant. Same with their winning against Penn State that was part of the Legends Classic in Brooklyn. And as I alluded to earlier, they not only beat USC on the road, but trashed them to the point where the Trojans just have not been the same team since that game.
I'll tell you what, you mentioned Penn State, so why don't we take a little look over here at the Big Ten, where we did, for example, see the Michigan win at Texas that we already addressed. I guess we had the upset of the season for a Big Ten team pulling off a win here. David, you want to sing the praises of my alma mater?
Yes. I am curious to hear from you how satisfying that must have been to win a game against a rival at home. And, just have such a bright spot. I know Rutgers has yet to win away from home and that the majority of their wins have been cupcakes and bye games, but still, that was huge for a program like that to win a game like that. It's definitely showing signs of improvement. I don't think they're anywhere close to the NCAA or the NIT, but I do think that their program's heading in the right direction. He's just doing a really good job.
And it really was. It was a huge win for the program. I mean, they were not very good on the road when the game played in Minnesota. But this is a very, very dangerous team when you have them at the rack. This was the biggest crowd I think they'd said in about 8 years at the rack there. Despite the fact that they've been in the Big Ten, they've been drawing some huge crowds for some of the marquee Big Ten matchups. You know, they really gave Michigan State a game, and they're going to pick off a few more teams along this season as we get into conference play here. It's going to be dangerous. I tell you, you on my bandwagon yet with Steve Paikel here?
I mean, I love the fact that they've been competitive. As much as the win over Seton is great, losses are very impressive. I think it's the Michigan State and I just said it here. Hold on.
I'll get a team sheet right up here. We can take a look at it here.
The team sheet.
That's
Michigan State, Minnesota, and Florida State, who are all looking like tournament teams. Some of them, the Florida State won only by 5. The Minnesota won big but on the road. And Michigan State, no shame ever losing to Tom Izzo. They played a ton of cupcakes. So if they go into Purdue in early January and scrape out a win, then I'll jump on the bandwagon. Right now, I think wins over Coppin State and Bryant are just not going to get it done.
Well,
no, and I think that they intentionally scheduled garbage this year just trying to pick up some wins and pad the record because they did not expect to be anything.
It worked.
It worked. Well, say they get to seven, like say they are home court heroes and they can somehow get to 7 wins in the Big Ten. Is that enough to get them to the NIT? It would be NIT, cutting it close. You think so?
To the NIT, yes, not the NCAA. No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but so 7 and 11, that is a huge step forward if they're able to win. If this team goes 7-11 and gets to a postseason tournament like the NIT, that's a huge improvement for this Rutgers program.
Joby, one other team, well, I guess we want to discuss two other games. The Crossroads Classic there saw Purdue beat Butler, followed by Indiana knocking off Notre Dame in the huge upset, huge upset from the Big Ten this week.
Fun doubleheader, Hoosier basketball at the end. It was a very good day for the Big Ten. The Big Ten needed those wins. The Big Ten's, you know, after the ACC challenge has kind of been behind the eight ball, but we've talked about the Big 12 having those big wins. There's a few teams in other conferences. The SEC's look good. Big Ten has kind of struggled. The teams like Minnesota that were supposed to pop out really haven't popped like a lot of folks did. Northwestern. But, oh, my gosh, how about Purdue and Indiana with – we're talking, you know, is this the biggest upset? You know, earlier I would agree. But Indiana over Notre Dame is a huge upset given where those teams were before that game. And maybe this turns things around and Indiana isn't that 10th place team, 11th place team we thought they were. And now they have a marquee out of conference win. But Purdue, we forget about them. They just keep chugging along and chugging along. And when we wake up come March, we might go, wait a minute, Purdue might be a pretty good protected seed. Yeah, just because they're just chugging along, and those boilers.
Rocco, here's the upcoming schedule in the Big Ten. We've mentioned already the Illinois-Missouri game and Northwestern Oklahoma, but we also got the Ohio State-North Carolina as part of the – I believe that's the CBS Sports Classic coming up this Saturday together with the Kentucky-UCLA game. Starting to look like a game maybe that Ohio State could be in.
Starting to, yeah. These games are being played down in New Orleans, so it'll be an interesting environment. I'm sure all four fan bases will be represented with some, you know, some fun holiday travelers. But yeah, I think it's funny you mentioned Ohio State. I was going to mention earlier. I have Chris Holtman right now as my Big Ten Coach of the Year, mainly because of what they've done in conference. And because of the turmoil and the sudden coaching changes that had to happen late in the offseason for him to even take over and start get his players in there. The way they just blew the doors off at Wisconsin and then handled Michigan at home. Of course, they had some struggles early on, as expected. But, Coach Izzo and Coach Painter, we knew they had great teams coming in. And the Rutgers story is awesome. So, I mean, if you're looking for something that came out of nowhere, I think it's Ohio State deserves credit and Coach Holtman. It will be interesting to see how they fare against UNC.
Well, Stalika, what do you think? You agree with him on Holtman being the coach of the year so far?
No, not. I mean, I don't think there's any question who the coach of the year is.
I didn't ask you.
Well,
it's going to have some similarities. It's going to have some similarities to Arizona because Matt Painter is also unbeaten in the United States. Because Purdue's only losses, remember, were Western Kentucky and Tennessee down in Atlantis, and wins at Marquette, wins at Maryland. They're going to hold some weight throughout the year, and the Arizona win, again, might have been for seventh place, but still going to show up as a quality W come March.
Kicked me out of the meeting.
David, who's your intern there?
What? Oh, the intern. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we got things stopped there. We have a few technical problems here, but we're going to keep going. And, Joby, who's your thought on the Big Ten Coach of the Year?
Unfortunately, I have to agree with John Stalica. Painter has really – I mean, he's piled up some really nice – I mean, wins on the way. Holtman's a great call by Rock. I don't really – I was actually debating between the two. But when you look at what Purdue's quality of what they've done, they were supposed to be good. They've delivered. They weren't supposed to be, I don't think, this good. I mean, they beat Butler like a drum. And this is a decent Butler team, even with Holtman coaching in Columbus now. I mean, they're taking care of business. I love the way this team's playing. Josh Painter. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt Painter.
Yeah. That was a subliminal pick for my coach of the year.
Tytel.
I think you've earned it. I'll give it to Pyko. This is a team that is not at a winning season in over a decade. I understand they had a good start last year in non-conference play and then fell in the toilet, and it's too early. But 10-3, even with an average schedule, even with not going on the road, is impressive. Go Steve.
Yes, I agree with him. Go Steve. David, I'm not even going to ask you who the coach of the year is this conference.
He's taking on the Mafia. That's the thing. The refs are paid off by the Mafia, and he's having...
Let's head over to the ACC. We haven't discussed yet. We normally start the show with it, so we definitely got to bring it up here. We've got a few marks there on the screen. I'll get those cleared off here. But there's the schedule from the past week. And Tytel, let me start with you. Virginia Tech, a very game showing against a good Kentucky team this weekend.
They were. They came in as one of the highest scoring teams in the nation. And obviously Kentucky at home is very difficult to beat. But the Hokies put up a good fight. But just too many freshmen. And they're on the cusp. Like, they had a good showing. And they should be rewarded for that by not dropping too far down.
And let me stick with you, though. You also had a chance to see our lone remaining undefeated ACC team in person there in Miami, and got to enjoy some donuts, too, I believe, correct?
It was four, working on the low-carb diet. It was weird. Like, the first half, Miami dominated. I think they were up, like, 32-15 at the half, and the game wasn't that close. And then the second half, GW just comes out in this 2-3 zone and full-court press, and the Canes didn't fall apart, but, like, the Colonials cut it to a single digit or under 10 points, and then it stayed under 10 most of the second half. Miami's got a ton of athletes. Huell inside, the double-double machine, he's 6'11". Bruce Brown Jr. is still recovering from a hand injury, played pretty below average, actually, but once he's full strength, he'll be fine. If you haven't seen Lonnie Walker, he has NBA athleticism, just unbelievable athlete.
And Joby, how about this Clemson team? Are we ready to start believing in them now after the Florida win?
Remember last year, they were the unluckiest team. We kept
ever.
How are they losing these games? And they found every way to lose a game. Well, now with the Florida win, a 2-point Florida win, now they're starting to find ways to win these games that they lost last year. We're getting back, the pendulum swinging the other way. These are good wins. I mean, even wins like Texas Southern are good wins, for what they were last year. They have turned it around right now. Right now, at this moment, they are a solid tournament team. Now, they could go 5-13 in conference, et cetera, and destroy that. But right now, their out-of-conference resume has put them in position to be in the NCAA tournament if they take care of business in what is a very good conference.
Yeah, and Rocco, there's that Clemson resume on the screen using KenPom ratings again with the Florida and the win at Ohio State. But I actually want to bring up one other for you here. A resume that's heading the exact opposite direction. Notre Dame now with a couple of really, really questionable losses.
Yeah, Notre Dame's going to be rooting for the Shockers to figure out their issues so they can have that hold up as a big-time win. If they continue to pick up losses, that win continues to lose value. But Notre Dame, you know, the issue with them, I think, is they got Colson and they've got Farrell, and then, you know, there's not a lot of other guys chipping in and contributing. So they're trying to carry the weight. Colson's taking the majority of the shots. They didn't take good shots against Indiana, and it cost them. So they got a lot to work on there, but they have a great proven coach. My gut tells me they'll turn it around and they'll find their way into the tournament. But they probably won't be a top two or three seed like we thought probably a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this team went from ranked fifth and appearing to deserve every bit of it to out of the rankings and appearing to deserve every bit out of it. They really struggle against unranked teams from Indiana, Ball State, and IU. But
80-77, both those games, by the way, just a little one of those coincidences. Right. Both those.
And not to take away at all from Indiana and Ball State. In fact, that Indiana game was a lot of fun to watch. But it's just the way that the Irish have played, not just in one game, but now three straight, not even looking like a top 25 team. Forget the results. They just didn't even look that good. Losing to Michigan State is hardly shameful, but they weren't even really in the game. And then they failed to beat both Ball State and Indiana. And the one game they did win, I think, they struggled to get that one.
So here is the upcoming schedule for the week, Stalika. Look at the upcoming games. We already mentioned the South Carolina, Clemson, the Georgia Tech, Georgia. But how about next weekend, Miami starting off with the true road game at Hawaii as part of the Diamond Head there?
That's going to be part of the Diamond Head, but I'm also going to be looking the night before where St. Bonaventure actually goes down the road to face Syracuse. That's a winnable game that could give the Bonnies quite a bit of breathing room as far as the at-large consideration goes, but the way the A-10 is going, I would strongly recommend they try to score that win as much as possible.
If they get that win, I think, I think that catapults them inside the bubble.
It does.
The Bonnies.
It
does,
the Bonnies.
For now.
Thank you for qualifying that statement. The Bonnies, for now.
Well, Rocco, who's the coach of the year so far in the ACC?
This is the toughest the conference I had the toughest time with, because there's really not a clear-cut leader, in my opinion, right now. I think you could give it to six or seven guys. You know, I think if you asked me on Friday, it would have been an easy choice. I would just give it to Leonard Hamilton because they were undefeated and they got the blowout win at Florida. But then they turn around and lose to Oak State. So now it's, you know, I don't know if he deserves it at this point. Virginia, their only loss is at West Virginia. Metrically, they've been fantastic. We had a little bit lower expectations for Virginia than we do most years, and even in the West Virginia loss, they look solid and they look good going forward. So I'm going to subtly, for now, give it to Tony Bennett.
Yeah, Joby, he picked your guy.
Well, Tony Bennett was actually one of the considerations. I thought long and hard about Bennett. I thought long and hard. Yeah, I mean, Miami has even surprised me with Larinaga. And even Boeheim has beat expectations. I know. They beat Georgetown. Whoopee freaking do. But they played a lot better. I thought Syracuse would be a hot mess, and they're not. The one I give it to, though, as I mentioned to him earlier, Brad Brownell. They're getting the wins that they didn't before. And good for him. He kind of deserves it after all the crap he's gone through the last few years.
So, is there a more frustrated man? Do you remember when he was at UNC Wilmington and they lost in the round of the 64 to Maryland with a guy falling out of bounds?
Drew Nicholas.
Yeah, Drew Nicholas. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that would have been relived eight times in one season?
Yeah.
Like it was last year.
Yeah. David, is he your choice?
Frustrated. I got two. I got him and the other guy that you have to, even though he's not actually coaching, you said coach of the year. You didn't say best coach of the year. Rick Pitino is suing Louisville, who is counter-suing him. That is just awesome. That's the story of the year.
Man, just like that. The father is to it. The father is to it. A winner.
Congrats, David, you win.
Yeah.
Stalika, can you follow that up?
I don't think we've mentioned Jim Christian's name yet, but I think we do have to look at Boston College. I mean, if we're talking coach of the year, maybe surprise of the year. I mean, granted, it was one win at home against Duke, but considering how far Boston College has come for the past couple of years, it's he and Brad Brownell are both literally coaching for their jobs at this point just to survive, it seems, from year to year.
And he's going to hold first place in conference maybe longer than anybody else this year.
Tytel, how about that? He's in first place.
I don't think people understand how bad BC was. Last year they lost at home to Nicholls State and Hartford, and now you're telling me they're going to beat Duke? I mean, it's ridiculous. And their losses are not bad. Texas Tech neutral site, Providence on the road, Nebraska on the road. Jim Christian, easily coach of the year.
Wow, easily coach of the year.
They are in bubble on the Nitty Gritty ratings right now.
talk about a conference that we may be unanimous on the coach of the year, but over in the Big East, where Villanova, nice win against rival Temple. We already discussed the Rutgers-Seton Hall win game and, you know, and Georgetown finally losing, although they gave Syracuse a game, David.
Yeah, they actually led for most of the game and kind of blew it. I mean, not to take anything away from Syracuse who came back, but yeah, they were in the lead and it looked like it was going to be this huge feel-good, we're undefeated, and we just beat our rivals' story, even though they hadn't beaten anybody and their rivals weren't that good either. It would have been a feel-good win for them. So, but, yeah, they did. They hung in with Syracuse for what it's worth, but couldn't quite get it done, falling in overtime. I'm still not expecting a whole lot out of the Hoyas, despite the fact that they almost beat Syracuse.
And Rocco, thanks to a commanding 87-36 win over Maryland Eastern Shore, Creighton broke into the top 25 polls this week. How about those Blue Jays?
That shows you how important the top 25 is, right? I think the Blue Jays are fine. They look like they're off to their regular, you know, hot start. I think they're going to be a tremendous team at home, but they have these really ridiculous road trips in this conference. And, you know, they're going to stumble when they get out to the East Coast and when they go to Cincinnati and some of these places that are in the Eastern time zone, like they have since they've joined. I think right now, you know, DePaul's actually been better than expected. They just haven't broken through. They almost beat Northwestern on the weekend. But they're going to knock a couple teams off, I think, this year. But for Coach of the Year, I'm going to go with I'm just going to go with Jay Wright because – they blew out Gonzaga, and they won the battle for Atlantis, which a lot of people agreed is and was the best preseason tournament this year. And so I know we all expected them to be a great team, but now, you know, they haven't shown any flaws in their team. So I'm going with Jay Wright.
Jay Wright, and I would agree with you on Jay Wright. It's tough to, you know, I mean – easy pick. It's the number one team in the nation, number one in most of the metrics, right. But you really just can't argue with that. But before we go to the rest of your picks, Sleek, I've got to ask you about the upcoming games here. Xavier with an interesting week, hosting Marshall and then at Northern Iowa over the weekend.
Yeah, the only reason you're highlighting the Marshall game is because of the Dan D'Antoni wardrobe I've had to break out for tonight with the t-shirt tuxedo.
Oh, but yes.
But they are going to have the road trip coming up Friday against Northern Iowa, which is going to be coming off that tough loss against Iowa State. But in some ways, it's probably good that Xavier at least got a stinker out of their system last Saturday where they fell behind by 22 points at home against East Tennessee State before mounting a furious comeback and actually snatching victory out of the jaws of defeat where their shooting finally woke up and they stopped going inside against a, an East Tennessee State player that I think had recorded 5 or 6 blocks during the game.
Yeah, you know, they overcame a 22-point deficit in the second half, but they also overcame a 7-point deficit in the final 3 minutes, I think. So Xavier really
I think you're missing the bigger story here, though, that they were down 22 to East Tennessee State, and that's inexcusable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it would have been more inexcusable had they lost, but they also played much of that second half without J.P. McCura because I think he went through a concussion protocol. So that's where a guy like Najee Marshall was starting to step up, make some crucial plays, and Kareem Kanter also had a game-tying 3 late in that one as well.
Yeah, it's not quite as inexcusable as losing by 22 to East Tennessee State. That would have been ridiculous. But how about the Johnnies?
Okay, is that your pick for Coach of the Year, David?
I don't know yet. That'll be a game-time decision, but they're one of the more surprising teams out of this conference, at least for me. And I don't know if they'll get all the way to the point to where they're solidly inside the bubble or in the field, but I gave Chris Mullins no credit when they hired him. In his first season, he was whining about how how Fordham was running up the score on him. That may have been the lowest point in the history of the Big East Conference ever, when you're complaining that Fordham is running the score up on you. But here they are, 9-2, one of their losses out at Arizona in a game where they really competed. So, I mean, if anything, I think I've been as surprised by the Johnnies as I have by anyone else in this league.
Well, Tytel, who's your coach of the year? You going to go with Nova and Jay Wright?
First of all, happy to announce that Hoops HD will be live at the Alabama A&M Georgetown game on Saturday. I told myself I was not going to watch Georgetown play this year unless they played a team who was on the bottom 5 in the nation, and they finally scheduled a true cupcake in Alabama A&M, who's 0-11, so I can't wait for that bloodbath. As far as my pick for coach of the year, it is Chris Mullin. This is a team that had 19 losses last year. It's not like he has Jalen Brunson and everybody else in Villanova. He has the Johnnies. They're 9-2 this year. 2 neutral site losses to Missouri and ASU.
Were Arizona State, 19-2. Yeah. I said Arizona. I misspoke. I'm sorry.
Okay. Top 100 wins over UCF and some guy named Tim Miles. And they've been doing it this month without Marcus Levet, who's been out all month with an injury. Small one.
All right. Joby, you want to break the tie here between Mullin and Jay Wright?
Sometimes we don't give greatness enough credit, you know, and Jay Wright has made Villanova, entering the year, Villanova was the number one, I think they were on most of our Final Four lists. However, they're not just now on all of our Final Four lists. They're number one seed by a lot, number one overall seed by a lot. They have taken those expectations that were already high, and sometimes when given high expectations, and they've upped it. This team, yeah, it's so tough to go undefeated in college basketball, but this is the type of team that could do it, and against a tough schedule. And that's because Jay Wright has put together an amazing program that reloads. I love these guys. Pop up the chart. You're going to see. Look at those wins. Gonzaga, Tennessee, Temple, the Northern Iowa team that we were talking about. Remember we were talking about Purdue losing to Western Kentucky? Villanova didn't. So it's like, you know, I just love what they've done. And hell, even in the LaSalle is not a bad team this year. That's a good win. And so, yeah, they have watch them lose this week, do something silly this week, you know, in the very first chance they get. But this team is more
playing impressive. Hofstra at Nassau Coliseum, which they apparently dusted off just for this game. pulled out the mothball, and they're going to actually play a game there for some reason.
In 2 other games, like, you know, Temple and St. Joe's, the road games they won them huge. And those are teams that, at the very least, are tough to beat at home. And Villanova just went in, and it's like they were playing on rookie mode.
I will give my gratuitous shot against Georgetown. I'm so happy Georgetown and John, you'll get to see it live against Alabama A&M, because maybe they can make that 349 strength of schedule 351 again. Damn, Syracuse ruined that 351 schedule. Stupid Jim Boeheim getting in the way with a good record.
Tytel, the Pac-12 standings are on the screen here. If you look in the AP and coaches poll column there, only the state of Arizona getting any votes even in the conference. Besides your Wildcats and the Sun Devils, is this time to write off the rest of this conference? I mean, what are we going to do with it?
I think that that's accurate for mid-December. I think that if UCLA goes into Kentucky and wins, then it's a whole new ball game. And if USC recovers to become who they really are, it is. The thing about ASU, like, I keep wanting to say this is a fluke. It's not a fluke. This team, they spotted Vanderbilt 13-0 lead on Sunday. What they do next, they go on a 57-24 run. Unbelievable. And they weren't even making threes. Both teams combined 9 of 54 from behind the arc. Just an ugly Sunday game. But ASU stomped Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And Wells Fargo Arena was sold out. I mean, the buzz is big time in Phoenix right now.
Yeah, Rocco, and you being a Pac-12 guy also, every time I want to find another Pac-12 team I like, Colorado goes and loses to San Diego. Utah loses the Holy War to BYU. Who else can you look at here?
Yeah, it's tough. I think Arizona State are looking really promising to be tournament teams. Hard to imagine either of them not getting in now. But you're right. I think USC with the talent, and if Melton comes back, they are going to be a tough team like we thought. But the problem with USC is they just don't have the player right now that has a backbone to pick them up when the games get tight. As soon as they start to trail, they just they end up getting beat by double digits. So, again, USC's at risk right now. And then the teams that I could potentially see are Utah, Oregon, and probably just those two, or maybe UCLA. UCLA, the last two games they played were really bad because they blew the Michigan game, and then they just got beat up on their home floor against Cincinnati. Luckily for UCLA, those two games on paper don't look bad, and so if they can bounce back and figure out, you know, how to right the ship, they can easily turn that around into a decent resume. But those are the three I'm looking at as potential teams to elevate, mainly Oregon and Utah, just because of their coaching background. Dana Altman, best fundamental basketball coach in the conference, and he's got players. So, you know, they're going to – I just feel like they'll get better, especially against this mushy middle of the Pac-12, where he's going to have the opportunity to beat teams that are having their own problems. He's not going to have to go up against juggernauts unless it's the Arizona trip or Arizona schools come to Oregon. So I still feel like it should be a four-bid league, but it's impossible for me to tell you who the other two outside of the Arizona schools will be.
And Stalika, the upcoming schedule there is on the screen. You note that UConn Arizona game and the Kansas Stanford game on Thursday. Also, USC's hosting Princeton on Tuesday in an unbracketed game for the Diamond Head. Could meet them again in the Diamond Head, which they start on Friday against Akron. Potential Middle Tennessee and a potential Miami game in that tournament as well for what could be a huge weekend coming up for the Trojans.
Yeah, but as we alluded to under the radar, that was one of the layover games for Princeton. But I'd also circled Kansas and Stanford because I want to see if Kansas has really gotten out of their doldrums outside of their win against Omaha tonight. I mean, if they were to stumble against Stanford, that would not be a good sign going into Pac-12. I mean, Big 12 play this year and could really jeopardize their streak of regular season championships.
I would also like to add that
back for that game.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
I would also like to add that I think Cal is so bad that they might get beat by Seattle and Portland State.
they beat San Diego State on the road. But does anybody want to make a case? I'm just going to throw open to anybody here that wants to make a case that Bobby Hurley is not the coach of the year in the Pac-12.
I want to, but I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I'd love to throw Coach Hopkins out there, but Hurley's just, I mean, he's going to be the coach of the year in the nation at this point, so too hard.
And what's interesting about this is it used to be when you did the Arizona trip, you could really kind of put Arizona State to the side and really focus on Arizona, okay? Or if you're a middling to lower end team, well, we better beat Arizona State because we're not going to beat Arizona. You know, now it's a hellish trip, as Rocco pointed out. And then on the back end coming to your place in a two-day span, you've got bam, bam. You could win, lose two home games in a matter of, you know, a matter of 48, 72 hours. I mean, that is just that is tough. That is really, really tough.
Joby, that's a great point. And the thing, the way that the conference is shaping up right now, those are going to be the biggest games on everybody's schedule. So they either have to put up or shut up, because without getting those opportunities to get quality wins, it's going to kill their resume. So they got to show up for those games.
David, I just brought the American up on the screen here. A huge week. We were talking about Cincinnati having a huge week coming up this week, last week's show, and they went, they got both the wins. They did have the huge week.
Yeah, they did, and really nice job. Really won handily out at UCLA. So, you know, now you got to wonder how valuable is the Mississippi State win at home. I know it's Mississippi State's only loss, but they have not exactly looked all that good and run it up. But still, UC needing to get it done and getting it done. The team I was big on, Houston, not having a good week, you know, going to LSU, not getting the win. So, again, I was optimistic about them last week, and that's probably understating what I was. But now, no, if you're a tournament team, which I thought they were, you need to be able to win that game, and they didn't.
Well, maybe another team that we haven't talked too much about so far, Tytel. How about Temple? You look at that strength of schedule. It's number one in the nation.
Well, pull it up. Pull up the team sheet.
I mean, if you want somebody to say something unkind about Fran Dunphy, you certainly came to the wrong place. But obviously, when you're beating Clemson and Auburn, who are both good this year early, Wisconsin any other year would be great. And think of that. If you told me last year that you were going to beat South Carolina and Wisconsin, you'd think that the top 10 team this year, they're both so below average that it's a kind of a blah thing. Big games coming up with Georgia and then Houston to start conference play, and then Cincinnati at home. I think I like the fact that they're battle-tested so far. Losing to Villanova is no big deal. I was at the loss to GW. That is a big deal because GW is not good this year, but they can overcome it. We'll see how they do when they travel to the Quakers on January 20th to see what they're really made of.
Yeah, some Clemson real good wins.
Clemson one loss of the season. Auburn one loss of the season. There they both are on the screen, David.
Yeah, I know. And this is what's crazy. Some really good wins away from home. Those two in particular, South Carolina, Old Dominion, a couple others. But how is it that they can have those wins on neutral floors? But when they go to LaSalle, which is sort of like playing on a neutral floor because LaSalle is typically that bad, they can't get the win. And same with GW. I mean, it's a good thing Temple's not in the A-10, because other than that, they are rolling this year.
Joby, the upcoming schedule in the American should be coming up on the screen right about now.
Well, Wichita's loss. Can we talk about that?
Want to talk Wichita's about it again? Okay. You want to talk about Wichita's loss?
Well, they lost to Oklahoma. And all I was going to say is that if you missed it, you can rewind it to earlier in the show.
Joby, is there anything that really stands out for you in this week, or are we still kind of in just kind of that last final week before the
Tulsa, Oklahoma State's a little interesting because we discussed Oklahoma State earlier as Temple. I think it's a put up or shut up game for Oklahoma State. They can't afford to lose it to what is in Tulsa team, not awful. Houston Providence definitely pops for me, and then the tale of two teams, the team we were just talking about, Temple and Georgia. Temple, I nicknamed them the Glass Tiger last year because they were the two-hit wonder. We'll see if the Auburn-Clemson leads to a repeat again of being Glass Tiger yet again. That Georgia win's going to – that Georgia game's going to show a lot about both teams.
And it could is. Be
a game that promotes – at least, like, pushes you on the right side of the bubble – for now, yes, and all these you have to perform in conference, but pushes you on the right side of the bubble for now.
Well, I've got to do it. I've got to go to Sleek to tell me who is the best coach of the American so far this season. See if he'll take the bait or not.
No, I'm going to go with Fran Dunphy, even though Temple's been pretty hit or miss here. Because suddenly their wins against Clemson, that's going to be looking good, even though we're going to have a little chat about the game at GW. Hopefully that'll just be a humorous footnote at the end of the year.
David, you agree with him, or you want to go with that Mick Cronin pick?
Well, again, Mick Cronin is the coach of the year, because you didn't say best coach of the year. This man challenged an opposing player to a fight. How can you not pick him as coach of the year? Who else has done that?
Tytel, you have a pick?
I do. I think it's Kevin Ollie, because they were terrible at hear me out. They were terrible last year, losing record. All right, I'm done.
No, I want to hear this.
Give us the record. Go ahead. Let's make the case.
Losing record last year. Only three losses this year. All neutral site. The Spartans, Arkansas by a ton, and Syracuse by single digits. Not a ton of wins on the resume. Oregon is a good win, obviously. Not a great win this year. I think they're going to lose big at Arizona on Thursday. Who knows? Even if they do. Very tough schedule. Then they follow that up with a game at Auburn for opening up with the Shockers, and the Shockers' first ever game in the American. So they might end up with a losing record. But right now, 7-3, three good losses after a terrible game season last year.
And he did a real good job at overtime in both the Monmouth and the Columbia win. So I got to applaud him for that. Toby.
Until this week, I would have taken the bait of the mass texter, Calvin Sampson. Right. But they really haven't done a whole lot. I mean, let's be honest. It's probably Fran Dunphy, though. Mick Cronin is going to get that team in the tournament. So, and I can't say that for sure yet on Temple. But come on, show me something against Georgia this week, and I'll go with Fran.
I'll tell you that the guy that we didn't mention that I think deserves a little credit here is Mike Dunleavy. The job he's done down in Tulane.
Oh yeah,
7-3. Yeah. That's an afterthought. Rocco, what do you think?
I would agree with that. I agree.
I've actually got Tim Jankovic over at SMU right now, basically because he's got that big win over Arizona under his belt, and he's got the USC win, which was a blowout at home. So he took out the preseason top two Pac-12 teams. And then the losses, I mean, Northern Iowa, Western Kentucky, a little bit disappointing, but they've gone on to be strong teams. They were both out in the islands, both really, really close losses. And then the TCU loss, it looks bad. It was 11 points, but that game was like 3-point game with a minute left, and it was all free throws. So really a lot closer than an 11-point loss. So SMU, they had some turnover last year. I'm just giving it to Jankovic. I think that Dunphy's really close. I just don't like those two losses that he had against A-10 teams.
Right. Well, let's go real quick. Dave, let me start with you real quick through the A-10 here, where I think there's only two teams we've even seriously discussing this season, the Bonnies and Rhode Island. Bonnies did pick up a nice win over Vermont this week, though.
Yeah, they're rolling. They've won 8 out of 9 since losing that opener without their starter, as we've been in every week. A real nice win over the weekend. Both Rhodey and the Bonnies getting nice wins, albeit at home, or at least in front of crowds partial to them against pretty good under the radar teams, and a whole lot of nothing outside of that. The A-10 network, should we get into this? Because do we need to get into the 10 commandments and the violations, not the conference, but the network was committing.
The entire network was committing a violation. Yeah.
Yeah. The A-10 network, 2-1 day.
The upcoming schedule, I don't know that there's any games you already discussed it, step on saying, Syracuse game. Anything else really worth discussing here this week?
Not that I'm seeing right here.
Right, but why don't I stick with you, Sleek? Who is your coach of the year so far?
I think I am going to have to go with Mark Schmidt and the job he's done to keep St. Bonaventure afloat. I mean, they did lose to Niagara in their opener. Granted, that was without Jalen Adams, but they've managed to keep their heads above water for now. But If they can get that win against Syracuse, that would give them some desperately needed momentum, because the A-10 is not going to give them any opportunities this year.
Tytel, you agree with him?
I really do. I think that Schmidt is the coach of the year. I want to give it to Dan Hurley. There's too many Hurleys getting coach of the year awards this year. Three losses, all solid. Nevada, single digits on the road. a mighty, mighty Virginia team, and Alabama by four on the road. He's had a couple of nice wins, Seton Hall and Providence, and the schedule is very favorable. So I think I could see them repeating, but I do like the Bonnies this year, especially now that Jalen Adams is healthy, everybody.
Yes, Joby, your thoughts.
I agree. Mark Smith, the Adams injury matters against Niagara. You take that out. They have some really nice little wins with the Maryland. Maryland's going to win the Vermont win this week. Stalika's right on. You know, Syracuse game's huge for them. If they win it, they have a shot. With Rhode Island, we knew Rhode Island was supposed to be this good, or at least was supposed to be a tournament level team. It depended how far up the seed line you wanted to say. So that's not a shock. But yeah, I didn't see St. I thought the Bonnies would be, I thought the Bonnies and Dayton would be trading places of where they are in the standings right now.
Yeah, Rocco, you agree?
I do not, but I think the Bonnies story, it's developing nicely. I think we kind of all pulling for them to make it. We want to see at least two teams from this conference get in. And I think the Bonnies really need to be careful this week because that Northeastern team is red hot. They got to play them on Wednesday and then turn around and go to Syracuse Friday. It's a tough little stretch there. That's almost like a Pac-12 setup. But I'm going to give it to Dan Hurley only because they got the injury to EC Matthews right before the Seton Hall game, which was one of their biggest non-conference games, and they still found a way to win that without him. They also went on to beat Providence and Charleston without Matthews. And the losses they have are perfectly fine. They're in great shape. The only team that can say that in the league. So I am going to give out two Hurley awards for tonight.
I think it also bears repeating that if not for a couple of clutch performances late in the game, Dayton could potentially be staring at a disastrous 3-7 record right now.
Yeah, they're rebuilding all the way around.
And a throw into VCU. VCU's been the hard luck team. They really had Texas on the ropes, couldn't do it. They had Michigan, at one point couldn't do it. So VCU we thought VCU might be a little better than they are. They've been in that hard luck, and they finally got the win over Bucknell, a pretty good under-the-radar win for them.
Yeah, David, I just brought the Mountain West up on the screen here. Probably only game of note was Boise State's win over the Lopes. The game of the Lopes actually leading most of the way that one.
Boise
State now getting 25 votes, too.
Yeah. Boise, what are they doing right – they're losing right now, aren't they? Anybody have that score
Boise
up?
Boise State is playing right now. I'll get you an update here on that Boise State score.
They're down 33-20.
Okay, so it's early, but a real rough start for Boise. Outside of that start, I've been really impressed with this league. Maybe I'm giving it a little too much credit because of how bad it's been the last 2 years, but Boise in Nevada looking like solid tournament teams, and then you got Vegas, Fresno, and even San Diego State, despite some really bad losses, looking like that they could get there. I don't think all three of them will, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if one, two, or three of them did. So, I mean, this league really, really looking up from where it was, where it's been the last couple of years. Among the teams not looking up is New Mexico. They are a train wreck.
Rocco, here's the upcoming schedule in the Mountain West. I highlighted a couple games here that could be a little bit interesting, but not too much this week.
Right. Yeah, I think Nevada will be okay with their two matchups. Southern Illinois and San Francisco are not even capable of beating them on a bad night.
You got UC Davis Tuesday night, Davis, which is a team that you Washington DC State.
UC Davis at Nevada. That's right. Yeah, I like the UC Davis team, but I saw them lose to San Francisco Friday night, and Nevada is just on a different level than the rest of these teams. I know they lost the two games against the Big 12, but I mean these guys are playing at a high level of basketball, like a wearing white type of level in the tournament. UNLV and Boise State, like David was talking about, they've got the potential resumes to be at large teams, but there's too many landmines in this conference. I think San Diego State will start to improve. I think some of the middle of the pack isn't that bad with like Colorado State, Utah State, teams like that. That eventually the resumes are going to start to fade, unfortunately. But I would just love to see somehow we get at least two in there from here.
Yeah, the interesting game for San Diego State, they're hosting Gonzaga coming up Thursday night. That'd be a huge win for them if they could find a way to get it. I don't think that they can. Yeah, but
I don't think that they can either.
I would go with Leon Rice, though. The job he's done at Boise State here as my coach of the year in the Mountain West. I just think, you know, it's in there 10-1, maybe 10-2 by the time most of you watch this podcast, but still no shame in losing a road game at SMU either. David, right. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Leon Rice, and the name is Casey, but the UNLV, I mean, just the great turnaround that they've had, 9-2, one of their losses are really, if nothing else in Vegas, the buzz is back. There's it kind of was dormant for a couple of years, and now there's some excitement and there's some life around that program again.
That would be Marvin Menzies, first New Mexico State coach to leave town.
He's in New Mexico, isn't he, Menzies?
No. Paul Weir.
Paul Weir, okay.
Yeah. But, yes, I agree. Leon Rice deserves it right now. I mean, they've only lost the one game. They blew out Loyola. They hit the half-court shot to win in the on the ugliest court in college basketball.
Yeah.
they're off to a rough start tonight. So, but coming into this broadcast, I think Leon Rice definitely deserves it. And then Menzies number two. But I will say, if Gonzaga plays like they did on Friday, where they were 30-point favorites against North Dakota and went to overtime, if they try to do that down in San Diego, they'll get beat by the Aztecs.
Yeah, Tytel, what do you think? You think that maybe we're Menzies should be the head coach of the year instead of Rice?
Menzies lost 21 games last year. So far this year, he's got two losses, both in overtime. Northern Iowa and Arizona. Brandon McCoy is the best UNLV recruit in at least a decade and should be a lottery pick. They've beaten Utah. They've beaten Illinois. It's Menzies.
Menzies. Joby.
It's a very tough call. Had UNLV pull – it's so tough because they were so tight in those games. Had UNLV pulled off either of those wins, I think I'd be Menzies, but I'll – give it to Rice right now. And one of the reasons why is how they're winning. Rocco hinted at how they're winning. They're not just beating Loyola Chicago, a good Loyola Chicago team. They're winning by 34. You know, they beat Illinois State by 22. And, oh, how does Ole Miss feel about that game right now? We didn't get into that in the SEC. they're going out and they're really performing above level with the one loss to Iowa State, who we already mentioned earlier in the podcast, is one of those Big 12 teams that's just looking towards March. We'll find out tonight if they can come back against SMU. That will cement the pick. If they lose, I'll switch my vote to Menzies.
And I would have said Menzies had I been able to remember his name. I just want credit for that.
I just pulled up the West Coast Conference standings real quickly. We already mentioned that Gonzaga needed overtime to beat North Dakota and that BYU defeated Utah in the Holy War there. David, let me actually go right ahead and go to the upcoming schedule here in the West Coast Conference. Start by asking if there's anything that you're really looking forward to this week, as it's tough sometimes to find any games in the league like this.
Yeah, Dayton at St. Mary's. Had it been last year, I'd really be looking forward to that one, but it's not. But other than the Zags and San Diego State, not really a whole lot to get excited about here. Texas Southern, one of the SWAC front runners, going out to BYU to complete what I hope is a winless out-of-conference season, followed by an undefeated season in conference. I would love that. But, yeah, not a whole lot of excitement this week. Frisco going to Nevada, the Dons, might be kind of interesting, but not. I think John has a phone call.
Tytel's taking a phone call. So Joby, yeah. Joby, let me go to you here. Coach of the year in the league, do we just give it where we always give it, or do you want to go somewhere else?
I mean, he's going to be it. I'll just go. I'll do the easy one and say a few. But Dave Rose is also worthy of mention at BYU, I think. But
Mark Few.
But
Mark Few.
No, Mark Few. Dave Rose at BYU.
Yeah, Mark Few. Sleeka, Mark Few.
If I'm gonna mention a coach outside of the top three, I'll just go for whoever is coaching San Diego these days.
Lamont Smith.
Rocco, I was going to go there. Who is coaching San Diego, and why should he be coach of the year?
Lamont Smith is the coach of San Diego. Zero expectations this year, and the best start in school history when they started 8-2 before running into the red hot Mean Green in overtime over the weekend. But still 8-3, a road win at Colorado, which even though Colorado's down, that's big time for the Toreros.
Titel, let me finish off with you here. Coach of the year.
I kind of want to go with none of them. If I have to pick one, I'll go with Randy Bennett, because even though he's got two losses that are not great to Washington State and Georgia, they're both neutral site, and he's 7 points away from being undefeated.
He is definitely the scheduler of the year, or the anti-scheduler of the year.
Yeah.
But let me run through each of you now. I guess that finishes all the conference. Let's go through if there's any other final thoughts or any other comments on everything we've seen the past week, what's coming up here. Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, looking forward to the Diamond Head Classic. I think Miami comes in undefeated, and they've had a couple of tests and they've passed them. I think they'll be able to beat Hawaii, but I'd love to see them play either USC or Middle Tennessee in the final, make that game exciting. And then for USC, obviously a team that really needs wins, they need to be able to beat Middle Tennessee, and if they can beat Miami, they're right back on track. So
I just really looking forward to that. Yeah, just through that diamond bracket up on the screen there, too. You see Akron, USC, Middle Tennessee, Princeton in the top half, Davidson, New Mexico State, Miami, Hawaii the bottom. Stalika, your thoughts?
We had a bit of a bizarre happening in Saturday's game between Ohio State and Appalachian State. It was actually a 15-minute delay because one of the fire alarms went off at Value City Arena. Apparently an exhaust fan had failed, and it was actually smoke coming into a concession stand area. So it really was hot, hot, hot for a brief time.
Yes.
Joby.
The link has been prepping for that all day.
Man.
I'm surprised you didn't have the music queued up, John. All right. I've got to throw some numbers in. The most important team for the Big 12, maybe on bids, is Nevada. And Rocco, you stole my thunder. You nailed it. They are the key wins for some of the middle, for a couple of the middle guys, including TCU and Texas Tech. If all of a sudden I think that those will turn out to be wonderful wins that will help those teams come March. But if all of a sudden in that tough, tricky conference we just talked about, Nevada falls on its face, which I don't think will happen, but let's say it does, all of a sudden that will greatly weaken TCU and Texas Tech, who did not have the strength of schedule out of conference to go away without those wins. And that could hurt if all of a sudden you see TCU and Texas Tech sink. Then that could actually hurt the entire conference, because then a random Texas win over Texas Tech is not quite as good. Nevada will play a outsized role in the Big 12 and maybe the number of bids that conference gets.
All right. See who we're going to get. Titel.
I want to give a shout-out to a guy we're probably not going to see in March. This is Fletcher McGee. He's a junior shooting guard at Wofford, who's only 7-4. He's been having a great season and career against some great competition. This year, a bunch of losses to power conference teams, South Carolina, Cal, Texas Tech. They did beat Georgia Tech by 3 at home. He is making a good case as one of the greatest shooters in the history of the sport, which I understand is a large statement. Career 47% shooter from behind the arc this year, 58%. He's not missed a free throw this year, 29 of 29, his career 92% shooter. It's not like he gets 10 boards and 5 steals a game. Like, he's mostly a shooter, but he's one of the best shooters in college basketball. I assume he's not going to go pro early, so we're going to get a whole another year of him next year. Fletcher McGee of Wofford. I hope that someday he makes the postseason so we can see how he does when the lights are brightest. But he's really a fantastic shooter.
Great, great, great stat there, and great, great player to bring up. David, let me finish it out with you.
I can't figure out Indiana or the state of Indiana, for that matter. The Hoosiers opened the season by losing by 21 to Indiana State. Then they've been off and on. They played really well against Duke in a losing effort. We had the big win against Notre Dame over the weekend. Tonight, playing Fort Wayne at home and down 20 with about 3 minutes to go. So, they are the schizophrenic team of schizophrenic teams this year. And, you know, just because.
Folks, we have a little bit of break. John Stalica is no longer part of the Hoops HD panel. He has been ejected from the podcast. The rest of us will be back sometime next week, not next Monday night, but I do want to take a moment to wish everybody a happy, healthy, and safe holidays, whether it's the end of your holidays or it's coming up next week. Do please be safe out there and enjoy the most important thing about Christmas, David, and you know what that is.
The Diamond Head Classic.
Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.